Welcome to the Ogletree Deacons Podcast, a quick digest of compelling legal issues and practical insights delivered to you in less than 20 minutes.
Welcome to the first in our podcast series, Tech Tuned Workplace. Try saying that three times fast. I'm Ruthie Goodbow. I'm a shareholder in Ogletree's Pittsburgh office. I'm excited to co-host this special podcast series featuring my colleague, Jen Betts. Jen is also a shareholder in Ogletree's Pittsburgh office, and while Jen practices both employment and labor law, she's one of our firm's thought leaders in the advanced technology space, and that includes concepts related to artificial intelligence, the Internet of Things, biometric devices, wearables, robotics, intelligent automation, blockchain, and more. And I'm feeling particularly honored that Jen asked me to join her in this series, because for those of you who know me, I'm just a labor lawyer. And for those of you who don't know me, and as you'll soon see, Jen and I come from two different generational perspectives. So in that way, we hope that our discussions on this topic resonate with all of our listeners. So welcome, Jen.
Thank you, Ruthie. I'm personally looking forward to this series because I'm fascinated not only by these advanced technologies, but more practically, the role that the advanced technologies play in our everyday lives. And for the purposes of this podcast series, the increasingly important role that they play in the relationship between employers and employees.
Let's talk briefly about how this series is going to work. Today's session is going to provide a high-level overview of some of the technologies that are or projected to be soon coming to our workforce. Moving forward, we'll have targeted casts focused on different legal and practical issues tied to these technologies.
That's right, Ruthie. Our hope is that with this series, we provide you with not only more information about the types of technological advancements that may be useful for your workplace, but also give you some real practical insights about the employee relations and legal issues that you need to be aware of as these technologies continue to roll into the workplace.
We'll be recording and streaming these podcasts on a monthly basis, each focused on a different topic in this space. Our next podcast in the series will be a more in-depth look at artificial intelligence in the workplace, how it's being used, what are the benefits it can provide, and what are the legal and practical issues that employers should be aware of. After that, we'll have podcasts focused on additional topics like robotics in the workplace, the concept of upskilling of employees, privacy issues, and the future of HR, and my personal interest, advanced technologies and traditional labor issues. Didn't think those two things could go together, but they do. For our listeners out there, if you have a topic you'd like us to focus on in a future episode, reach out to Jen or me. So let's dig in. Today, we're going to provide a high-level overview of this area. Jen, I've heard the term fourth industrial revolution when talking about these various technologies. Tell me what that means and what do advanced technologies have to do with an industrial revolution?
You'll also hear people talk about the future workplace or the future of work. When people mention fourth industrial revolution, future workplace, 4IR, what they're talking about are changes to the way people live, work, and relate to one another due to advances in technology. Given the amount of advanced technologies like AI that are already in the marketplace and the expected pace of development and the unique issues presented by these technologies, our focus in this series is going to be understanding and planning for the employee relations and legal aspects of these technologies.
As they say, let's start from the beginning, the basics. That'll help me. I know that. Let's walk through some of the different advanced technologies. All right, Jen, what's artificial intelligence or AI?
So AI, stated very simply, involves machines performing tasks in a way that is intelligent. And there are a lot of different subfields of AI. All of them solve complex problems associated with human intelligence or interacting with the world. We could have a lengthy podcast series just talking about the different types of AI, but I'll highlight two today for the purposes of this podcast: machine learning and natural language processing. First, machine learning. Very simply, that involves computers using data to make predictions. There are different subtypes of machine learning, but all of the methods have the same basic purpose and process. They use data, which is fed into a computer algorithm, and the data is then used by the algorithm to extract insights, patterns, relationships that can be used to make decisions. Second, machine learning. It's all around us. It's what drives credit card companies' ability to use fraud alerts by studying historical patterns and what allows video streaming companies to make recommendations about the movies or the products that you'd like.
So that's very interesting, and I appreciate you bringing it down to things I understand, because I do get those alerts about the movies and the products. So what's natural language processing?
So natural language processing is another form of AI. It helps a computer system understand, interpret, and manipulate human language. So obviously, as human beings, we speak in English, Spanish, so on. But a computer's native language is machine code. At the simplest level, a computer communicates with millions of zeros and ones that produce actions. Through natural language processing, a user, you or me, can interact with the computer, and the computer can understand and respond in the same language that we are using.
Is that what allows me to talk to my home device and have it play a particular song?
It is. Yes, exactly. So through natural language processing, along with other types of AI, you can talk to your phone or a music speaker. You can ask it a question and it will respond to you. And if you think about it, this interaction is actually really amazing because the device has to activate when you speak, understand the intent behind your request, execute on an action, or respond in a well-formed sentence. And that all happens in seconds. There's a number of different forms of advanced AI that make that possible.
So what are some of those other advanced technologies? And I guess we're particularly interested in those that would be used in the employment space.
Sure. There are a ton. We don't have time to get into all of them today, obviously, but let's talk about a few more that you see very commonly. First, robotics. Robotic automation is not new. Many workforces already have one kind of robot or another in their midst, particularly so in manufacturing. The advancement that we're seeing now is not only more rapid and further spread of robotic technology, but also what we'll call intelligent robotics or intelligent automation. Robots are increasingly relying on a variety of advanced AI techniques to perform tasks that historically required human intelligence. So, for example, interviewing job candidates, taking food orders at restaurants. In China, the first robot bank opened last year, which is a bank that was staffed entirely with robots and no humans.
So I haven't been to the bank in China, but I did go to a hotel in Las Vegas that had a robot clerk to check you in. I just found it really creepy. So let's go to what other technologies that are not so creepy to me.
You have probably heard of blockchain.
Yeah, that has something to do with Bitcoin, right?
Yes, Bitcoin runs on a blockchain database, but the technology's applications are actually much broader. I like to think of blockchain as a highly secure and decentralized way to move and store enormous amounts of data. Technically, blockchain is a distributed ledger or a database that's shared across a public or private computing network. In a distributed ledger, the ledger or the database is copied and simultaneously shared by all the parties so that everyone has a real-time duplicate copy of all the transactions, and there's no need for a central host for the database. There are a lot of software protocols that make a blockchain database secure and supposedly fraud resistant. You can kind of think of a blockchain database as a Google Doc on steroids. So if you've used Google Docs, you can kind of understand how blockchain works.
Now, I've heard you mention something called the Internet of Things. What's that?
So the Internet of Things, or IoT, refers very broadly to everyday items that are connected to the internet. It's referring to anything other than a computer that's connected to and can send and receive data through the internet. So in our modern world, there are a ton of devices that are quote-unquote networked, sending and receiving data. Things like coffee pots, vacuum cleaners, running shoes, watches, the list goes on and on and on. Just like there are many connected devices in our homes, there are also many connected devices in the workplace, and harnessing these devices can lead to efficiencies in the workplace.
So that's how my water bottle talks to my phone to tell me I need to drink more water, right?
Exactly.
Okay. So another term that you've used is big data. What is that referring to?
So in this context, big data simply refers to the enormous amounts of data that employers have accessible about the workplace and their employees. It can be internal data like emails, calendar entries, time entries, performance metrics, productivity data, or it can be external data like social media profiles. And with IoT-connected devices ballooning, the amounts of data that are available to employers continues to expand.
Let's switch gears a little bit and talk to me about biometric devices.
So biometric technology recognizes and authenticates employees based on their unique biological or behavioral traits. The types of biometric technologies most commonly used in the workplace are things like facial recognition software and fingerprint scanning. Some organizations also use hand geometry, iris scanning, voice recognition. Companies are using biometric devices as a more secure way to authenticate employee identity for things like timekeeping, accessing facilities or devices or vehicles, or granting access to sensitive data.
I think I recall something recently in the news, something about a ban on facial recognition in San Francisco.
That's right. In mid-May, San Francisco became the first major city to ban local government agencies' use of facial recognition software. The ordinance was motivated by a variety of concerns related to governmental surveillance, Big Brother, and also some concerns about potential biases embedded in the software. Now, the ordinance doesn't have any application to private actors like companies operating in San Francisco, but it's an interesting window into perceptions about this kind of technology and possibly a signal that we're in for future increased oversight in the private sector as well. There are a number of additional jurisdictions that are considering a similar legislation.
I think that's a good point. I know we'll talk about that later in future podcasts, but we've talked about now a lot of the different technologies in this very short amount of time, and that's been very helpful. So let's take a minute and let's talk about how these technologies are being integrated into the workplace.
So a lot of different ways. One example, one of the current popular uses of AI in the workplace is in the talent acquisition space. Already, I've seen studies that show 30 to 40% of American workforces are already using some form of AI to screen or evaluate recruits. And that's consistent with my experience working with companies as well. Additionally, over the last few years, organizations have begun deploying AI to do things like assist with performing certain HR functions through chatbots, for example. Another example, employers are using the different data streams that they have accessible to them in combination with AI tools and data analytics to draw and gain insights about employees and working conditions. Harnessing information is becoming easier and easier and presents a lot of benefits and efficiencies, but also carries with it some risks. I talked about blockchain earlier. Of the technologies that I've mentioned, it's the least advanced. It's the most theoretical at this point in time, but in the HR space, there's a lot of predictions about how it's going to be harnessed in the next 5 to 10 years. In recruiting, for example, there's an idea of everyone having blockchain passports with all of your references, CV, work history, educational history, et cetera, and all of it would be accessible through a blockchain database.
So this is our generational differences. That sounds like that book, 1984, that I read when I was in school. And I'm excited that we're going to focus on more of these applications in the future. Why don't we spend our time remaining talking about labor and employment issues that are embedded in these types of advanced technology?
So there's a lot of obvious benefits with advanced technologies like AI. Efficiencies, lower costs, improved quality, less errors, and on and on. But it's not perfect. If you follow this space, you've probably seen a number of articles being written both by the media and by scholars about potential biases in AI. Developing and improving AI requires training data and inputs. The biases embedded in the selection by people of the data used by an AI tool can lead potentially to unfair treatment of individuals or groups. It's the general concept of garbage in, garbage out. If the AI is structured incorrectly or it's developed by individuals with biases, it could theoretically have the potential adverse outcome of institutionalizing that bias. We are going to talk in depth in subsequent podcasts about the regulatory and oversight attention being paid to these issues. But for now, what I'll say is that federal and state governments have been looking closely at the impact of advanced technologies on employees and the application of existing laws with this new technology, like anti-discrimination laws and other workplace safety and privacy laws?
So my sense is the reality of this, sooner or later, these technologies are going to become part and parcel of our workforce. We're going to have to get used to it if they aren't already there. So what should we be doing now as either an in-house lawyer or an HR or labor relations professional?
Again, we're going to talk about this in depth in a future podcast. For the purpose of this introductory cast, what we want to say is that you can help ensure that the technology is being used in a fair and appropriate way to avoid legal and practical risks. I have a 4-question roadmap that I generally think about whenever I look at one of these issues. You can run through this roadmap as you implement technology in your workplace or when you consider technology that you've already implemented. So question 1, through the technology, is data being collected, stored, or transmitted? As we've talked about, and as the examples show, a lot of AI systems collect, store, or move enormous amounts of data, often really sensitive data. There's a lot of international, federal, and state rules, as well as local rules and common laws that govern the collection, storage, review, and movement of data, as well as people's privacy rights. This area of the law is constantly evolving. It's something that needs to be evaluated on a regular and rolling basis. Question 2, is the technology changing employees' terms and conditions of employment? Obviously, AI changes employees' working conditions in many ways, minor workflow changes to more significant changes like the displacement of employees through layoffs or reductions in force. Question 3, is the technology changing the physical working environment? Under the Occupational Safety and Health Act, OSHA, employers have a legal duty to maintain a safe workplace. And there are specific regulations that OSHA has developed relating to certain employee standards around robotics and other technology. There may also be state and local laws that could be implicated. Question 4, is the technology affecting employment-related decision-making? As we've talked about, employers are increasingly using technology like AI to do things like analyze job applicants and make other day-to-day employee-related decisions. If you're using advanced technologies like AI to either directly or indirectly make employment-related decisions, it's very, very important that employment discrimination risks be evaluated and mitigated against, if possible.
In addition to those legal concerns that you've talked about, you know, from my perspective, I'm thinking the use of AI or other kinds of these advanced technologies also raise a number of employee relations challenges. You know, in many instances, employees have significant concerns about what technology will do or will mean for them and their jobs. There's a kind of insecurity about it. We'll talk more in future podcasts about best practices from a human resources perspective and also employee relations. Jen, I really want to thank you for sharing this information for me today. I'm learning as we go. So with that, I'm going to say thank you. That's the end of our time. And as I mentioned before, next month, we'll focus on artificial intelligence in the workplace. We hope you've enjoyed today's podcast and that you'll tune in next time.
Thank you for joining us on the Ogletree Deacons podcast. You can subscribe to our podcasts on iTunes or through your favorite podcast service. And remember, the information in this podcast is for informational purposes only and is not to be construed as legal advice.